You're listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast, presented by Amswell.
Welcome everyone, race fans, friends, everybody else, to another episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. I'm Shane. I have Brent here with me as always. Brent, we're staring down the barrel of the Pro Series finale, the Mid-America Outdoors Off-Road National. How you feeling, man? It's been a grind. We've talked to the drivers about what kind of a grind race season is. It is for us too, and how are you holding up?
Man, it's been a long summer, but you just got to keep grinding, like you said, and we're at the final rounds of Amsoil Championship Off-Road, and I'm telling you right now, it's going to get exciting. We're going to go through a lot of the classes here on the podcast and tell you about the points championships, because that's one thing that sticks out. Yeah, it's a long season, but this is your time to shine, Shane.
Yeah, this is what I prepare for. This is why I do all the homework and keep up on those numbers, and I call myself the numbers guy out of the two of us here. At points championship weekend, there's so much on the line. And not just for the championships themselves, but, you know, a lot of pride comes along with finishing third in the points instead of fifth. And we'll get into that a little bit, too, because there's some really tight points battles, kind of undercard points battles in some of these classes. But first up, Brent, this is one of the tightest ones. In fact, the tightest one in all of Champ Off-Road. And it'll be the first class on the racetrack when we get down there for rounds 12 and 13. Pro Buggy, top two drivers, Billy Booth, Mark Airsteiny Steinhardt, separated by only 3 points. A lot of different ways that could go over those two rounds.
Yeah, absolutely. Before we got on here, we were talking about Billy Booth, and we're just wondering what's going to be laid out and who's going to come with the gloves up and get the job done, like we like to say. It's going to be exciting because we have veterans in the class, we have some fresh guys, and this class has created great racing and a new facility, a new track for these guys. I think it's going to be a showdown because I couldn't tell you who's going to win this points chase. I know Billy Booth's up there, Shane, but he better be on his A game because I know there's a lot of hungry dogs.
Well, what it's going to come down to, and this applies to all the classes for the most part, is other than a couple guys in the Pro Series, CJ Greaves, Kyle Greaves, and a couple others who have been down there. Kyle Chaney has obviously raced down there at Mid-America. A lot of people, and that includes the entire Pro Buggy field, they've never raced at Mid-America before. They have to get down there. You know, they'll be there Friday for practice and qualifying day, and you have to learn that track quickly, and you're measuring yourself against your competitors and against your own skills. You're trying to dial it in as quickly as possible. You don't get a lot of track time on practice and qualifying day.
No, yeah, it's limited time, and you have to maybe watch video. I know Johnny Holger and guys like Kyle Greaves, they've been out there, but there's quite a few guys I know. Tyler Remreed's laid out on that track a couple different times. Yep. And put some laps in, so he's got that confidence. And I think those are three guys you're going to watch that are going to probably really progress through the weekend because they already seen it, right? So now that limited track, like you said, these drivers that haven't seen it, they better focus in the laps that they get. They better put it down in their memory bank because, hey, Saturday's going to come quick, and this is the final rounds. I really think it's really awesome that everybody's going to have a new slate.
Well, talking about that Pro Buggy points battle, I think it's the contrast between those two drivers. Billy Booth, obviously, this is only his second year in Pro Buggy. He knows how to win championships in buggy classes. He's proven that before. He is a technician. He likes to study. He likes to go back and do his homework watching film. So he's going to digest every lap that he runs on Friday and come out guns a-blazing on Saturday. The other side of the coin, Mark Steinhardt, that guy has raced on, you know, 50 times as many racetracks as Billy Booth has. So he's seen every kind of track. He's seen every kind of soil. He knows how the track's going to come apart. He has such a different perspective on it. It's set up for a really interesting battle between those two.
Yeah, and patience is going to be huge. And being Steinhardt, he knows how to let the track come to him. And he knows he's been in these situations, like you said. He's been in so many championship runs. He knows when to go, when to be slow. And I think it's going to come down right to the end. And I can't say the better guy will win. It's just who has that luck. I mean, you hear from a lot of guys, like 80% of it's luck, and I believe it. Especially going to a new track, you better both check your equipment and make sure you got everything dialed in, because I heard some of these straightaways, these hills and these jumps are pretty huge.
Yeah, a couple interesting guys in that field that could play spoiler too, and We've seen them on top of the box already this year. Jordan Bernlohr, a couple wins. Larry Jobe also has a couple wins. Michael Meister, fresh off a win in the Crandon World Cup. Not having the season he wants, but certainly he could spoil someone's championship hopes too. And what we talked about with sportsman championships, and we'll talk about it again this weekend for the final rounds for the pros, is it really can come down to just one position. And I guess while we're on the topic, we'll talk about the bonus points too, because that'll come into play. So for those of you that don't know how we award bonus points, first of all, you get 5 bonus points for the fast qualifier. So Steiny could actually come into the first day of racing with a points lead if he qualifies first. Another couple bonus points if you lead at halfway. If you're second at halfway, you pick up 1 bonus point. And finishing the race, first to second is a 3-point gap. Second to third and all the way on back, you get 2 points more than the guy who finished right behind you. So that 3-point gap coming into the weekend, it's going to come down to literally one track position on Sunday.
Yeah, and that's huge. Shane, that's just so big, because when you get that 5 extra points, and say, I don't want to put it on nobody, say Steiny has a good first half and Billy's got to struggle to come from the back or vice versa, that's big on the points chase. I mean, you know, we talk about Corey Winter all the time and what that championship meant to him and how he failed to win it because he just came short. And every point counts, and you can go back to the beginning of the year and be like, yeah, I could have picked up 1, could have picked up 2 here. No, this is where you're at, and it's time to perform.
Well, taking a look at the next class here, Pro Stock side-by-side, this is the biggest points gap in all of Champ Off-Road in the Pro Series. 57 points separate CJ Greaves and Tyson Marquardt. CJ, of course, rattled off 6 wins in a row, rounds 5 through 10. He's looked dominant all season. Marquardt and then Jeb Boodle also, like, barely with a chance. They basically need catastrophe to strike CJ Greaves. And for what it's worth, the 3 races that CJ hasn't won, he has had mechanical problems. So it's not like he's immune to that. But if you're Tyson Marquardt or Jeb Boodle, who's, you know, almost 80 points back of CJ, what do you think your mindset is going into this final weekend?
You just got to win. You got to win. You got to hope that they have a bad weekend. But in my mind, I would say, hey, you're going for the win. I know there's a lot of great cars, but if you're in this hunt, if you're out front, there's nothing else more you can do. So I'd just say, if you're one of those two, you have to put your head down and give it. And you know that we're good friends with the Marquardts, and we pull for those independent drivers. And I think it's going to come right down to it. You said CJ had problems in the year, throughout the year, and it could happen to anyone, and we'll have to wait and see.
Yeah, at that point, I mean, there's an analogy I'll steal from pro football. It's one of my favorite pro football writers. The way he describes the playoffs is you just got to get your seat at the table, and once you're there, you're shaking the dice just like everybody else. And I think, you know, for those guys who are long shots, we'll talk about a few other ones in other classes, that's the best you can do at this point. I mean, the season has laid out the way that it has. You've been dealt the hand that you have going into this final day at the table, so to speak. Like you said, just put your head down and go for broke, because you never know what could happen.
Yeah, and that's what you have to do, and that's what's going to be so cool. You got to be aggressive, but yet you have to keep your equipment together to finish the race, and you can't afford a DNF on the final weekend. And been there, done that, and it's definitely heartbreaking. So you hope you have all your T's crossed and your I's dotted, and that pro buggy class, the pro stock, I mean, it's just going to come down to the last race of the weekend, I believe. I really do.
Well, taking a look at a truck class, the first truck class that'll hit the track, Pro Spec, Chad Rayford, 14 points ahead of Nick Visser. Ledbetter still 47 points behind Rayford. That's close enough if Rayford has some bad luck. How do you think that plays out? Rayford has been really tough to beat, but man, when Visser is on, he is way on.
Yeah, you're right. And I want to say that Chad will be ready to rock and roll. He's had a few rough weeks with his buddy Corey Podolsky, and a lot of us and a lot of families and friends have been going through a lot of crazy things, and those guys are so close that he's going to have a little bit more oomph underneath that truck pedal, I think, and he's going to give it a little more, and it fits his style, I think, this track. It's more of a like a motocross quad racing track, and I think that's where he's going to capitalize on this facility. And you can tell me if I'm wrong, but I got a lot of credit and a lot of confidence in that program of Chad Rayford, because they came to play, and I heard rumors that he's done after this year, and I hope he realizes, man, we need those guys in our class, because he is definitely so damn fast.
Well, looking at the other driver that I mentioned there, Nick Visser, he's been here before. He's won championships in Super Stock Truck. Again, hyper-competitive class, ton of talent in that class for, you know, a decade plus now. He knows how to put it all together when it counts the most, so you can't count him out. And like I said, Gray Ledbetter, 47 points back, you get 50 points for a win. Anything could still happen there, and she's the defending champ, so she, you know, she's going to come prepared. They've done their homework, the whole Ryan Beat Motorsports team. They're going to have that truck 100% ready to go. She's kind of fallen on some hard times going back to Bark River and then again in Crandon, but don't count her out either.
No, absolutely not. I'm not just favoring Rayford. Absolutely not. Right. I'm not. But I'm just saying that he's very talented, but so is a lot of these other drivers. I mean, Chris Vandenelson, he's had a teeter-totter year. I mean, he can't catch a break, but at a new facility, he's aggressive. He likes to drive hard and fast. It's going to be interesting to see him and see where he can place because he's really tied on to his program and is really doing great. I mean, you look down to like even Hayward and guys like that are trying to get their feet wet in this class.
Yeah,
it's
Dylan
very
Parsons.
Challenging. Yeah, Parsons doing a phenomenal job. It's going to be very, very amazing to see how they can adapt to this new facility with this new class because I'm starting to love it, honestly. It's very competitive and it's fun to call. It's fun to watch and you can ask anyone. They really like that competition so close.
Well, another class that's been nonstop fun for us all year, maybe not so much for the drivers involved, but Pro Light has been an absolute banger again this year. Basically, the most drama you can cram into one off-road racing class that's been Pro Light all season. Kyle Greaves starting to pull away a little bit in that one over the last few rounds. Holds a 27-point lead over Trey Gibbs. Each of those drivers really only had one bad event, or one bad day, I should say, when I'm looking at this points grid. But Greaves has been stacking up wins. Gibbs has been stacking up seconds, thirds, fourths, and that's been the difference so far this year. And like I said, 27 points. Bailey in third, 85 points behind Kyle Greaves, so still mathematically with a chance. But really, it's down to Greaves and Gibbs, and that's kind of what we thought it would be after the first couple weekends.
Yeah, they really showed their power last year, and now coming into this season, they've been right there, the top two all year long. Maddox Bailey, Ryan Beat, another one of his trucks he's put together and put Maddox behind the wheel, and he's very quick. I mean, Brody Eggleston, I could go on forever. That Pro Light field is stacked. Johnny Holgers, Johnny really started to look fast at Crandon, getting a good hole shot, made some contact, but hey, he stayed strong, and he has a lot on his plate. I mean, running three classes, it's just crazy that he can focus, and he's doing a great job. But then you look at other drivers in the field. I mean, I can't imagine how it's going to shake out. We always say that body panels are replaceable, but it seems like nobody ever has any at the end of the event.
Well, I talked about some of the quote-unquote undercard fights in these points battles. From Bailey in third, he's got 459. Eggleston, 454, so only 5 points behind. And then another 19 back is Matt Wood. So that group of three drivers there, that's going to be kind of the points battle within the points battle in a way. And, you know, Wood and Bailey, they're still both looking for their first wins in Pro Light. Both those guys still have a lot to prove, and I think they're going to come guns a-blazing here to Mid-America.
Yeah, I mean, Matt Wood, we got to talk to him at Lena, and ever since, I always seem to run into him throughout the pits, and I always tell him good luck because he's just one of those independent drivers running on Yokohama tires, really trying to get his program together, looking for a big ride like a lot of other guys are, but he's there week in and week out. He has a great truck underneath him, a great team. I mean, it's guys like that that keep people pushing to keep wanting to race with these top classes because, man, for what Matt Wood's doing, his win is coming. And I can't tell you it's this weekend, but I can guarantee you that it's going to be soon.
Well, let's take a look now at AMSOIL Pro Turbo side-by-side. This is another very, very tight points battle. It's basically down to two drivers. CJ Greaves sitting in second, 7 points back of Kyle Chaney. And we've talked about Kyle Chaney a lot because everywhere else that guy goes, he wins races and wins championships. He comes to Champ Off-Road, and it's like he's been snake-bitten for the previous 3 years. Finally, this year, it seems like things starting to fall his way a little bit more often. 4 wins on the season. CJ has 3 wins. 7-point margin. Both of those guys have experience at Mid-America. So this is going to be a very, very entertaining race. Just like we talked about with Pro Buggy, this is one that I think is going to come down to just one position in the final race.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what it's so great to see, is that one position could cut somebody's heart out, because that's how close these brackets are. And what we see all year, I mean, the trucks or the buggies or the side-by-sides, I believe that our Champ Tech crew and everyone's doing their jobs to keep everybody equal. And it's just going to be a dogfight. I don't care if it's Pro 2, Pro 4, Pro Light. That's what we're here to see, is the best of the best, and I'm excited to get there.
Well, you said the word dogfight, and I think that's probably the best way to describe the U.S. Air Force Pro 2, this three-way points battle. We talked a little bit about Corey Winter. He's been so close the last 2 years, fell just short each of those years. He's finally sitting in the driver's seat going into these final two rounds, 12 points ahead of Mickey Thomas, and then another 3 points back of Thomas, you find Ryan Beat. Those guys have been the class of the Pro 2 field all season. They've split all the wins except for two of them, so they've combined for 9 of the 11 wins. This is another one. This one is going to be worth the price of admission, I think, because that's three guys that are very hungry. Beat still looking for his first Pro 2 championship. Thomas looking for his first Pro 2 championship. And Winter has already been extremely close, but he's still looking for his first Pro 2 championship. We're going to get to crown a first-time Pro 2 champion, and all three of these guys deserve it, man.
Yeah, we talk about teeter-totter years. I mean, it's crazy to see. Look at Mickey Thomas, comes into turn one, makes contact with Keaton Kincaid, and goes upside down, and now we're talking about he's going to be one of the guys to watch this weekend. But that just shows you how much determination in these crews of what they do to make these trucks safe to go on to the next weekend. And Ryan Beat, like you said, he's freaking hungry. He's ready to rock and roll, and this is his style facility. And Corey Winter, I'm just saying right now, he was so bad fast at Crandon. I think in that cup race, his motor was starting to be tired, just a little bit tired through the weekend, because nobody was catching Corey Winter at Crandon. And it was cool to see. So I hope the kid, he's young, his dad's awesome. Him and his father, they just put their hearts and soul in this team, and I can't wait to see what the Vision Canopy truck can do here at this new facility, and plus, hopefully you can get that championship. You know, when you try that hard and you come that close, you got to be for a guy.
I talked about the bonus points at stake, too, on Friday, qualifying day. Mickey Thomas seems to qualify fastest in that class an awful lot. That could trim that 12-point gap between him and Winter all the way down to 7 points with two rounds of racing left, so it's one thing to keep an eye on. The stakes on qualifying day have probably never been higher than they will be Friday at Mid-America for this Pro 2 field, because Winter could extend his lead, or Beat or Thomas could close that gap quite a bit.
Yeah, it's going to come down right to the end, and those points are huge, and you're Thomas, and you're right. You can't even say it any other way. It seems like every time, if the rain don't take us away from having practice, when we have qualifying, Thomas is always on top. Mikey VanHeuvel has a big part in that team, and their whole team as a whole is just really nailed that setup. They've nailed what they needed to do, and the future looks bright for Thomas. So watch as he really puts his arms out.
Well, last here, but certainly not least, the final champion that we'll get to crown this summer, Brent, Pro 4. Now, a couple of weeks ago, or I should say a couple of events ago, like after, say, Dirt City Motorplex, it was looking like Jimmy Henderson might be able to play spoiler to CJ Greaves. Since then, the way it's shaken out, Greaves picked up a couple more wins. That gap now sitting at 32 points. It's a smaller field than Pro 4, obviously. You'll still have RJ Anderson there, but that's a tough gap to make up. But Henderson, we know he's got the fight in him.
Yeah, and that's what he has. He has a lot of fight. I mean, he won't quit. And you watch his social media, he's focused. He's ready to rock and roll. And yeah, granted, CJ, he's a dominant driver, but what does Jimmy Henderson, Shane, have to lose coming in the end of the year? He doesn't have anything to lose. He's going to go wide open. He's going to whip that truck around like he loves to do and make it work. And I guarantee you, he's going to show what he can do these final rounds, because to go into 2024 with a big head and be confident, you have to show what you could do at the end of the year, because I have a feeling we'll be coming back to this place as well.
Tell you what, man, Jimmy Henderson may go down in second place when when the dust settles, but he is going to go down swinging. You know that for sure.
Yeah, you're not going to forget about Jimmy Henderson, and you've seen him really turn his game on this year, and that United Rentals ride, the Maxxis tires, he hooked up with them. They really are working well together, and he's a great race car driver. And I said, he just kind of gives me that little vibe of Rick Husman back in the day. Just all of a sudden he comes into Pro 4 and everyone didn't give him the credit that he deserved. And all of a sudden he was pouncing on everybody's back. And I believe that's our Jimmy Henderson in the Champ Off-Road Series, because he's been fast all the time. And if he can get to CJ and run his pace, you're going to see a duke out like we did at Bark River.
I think from maybe the beginning of last year to now, looking at Jimmy Henderson as we stand entering these final rounds, I think the one word that comes to mind for me is swagger.
Right, right.
Just seems like a different guy out there on the racetrack.
And we love Jimmy. We love CJ. We love all these guys in our sport because they're bringing the show. They're bringing their attitudes. They're bringing their energy. And you can tell in our voices. I mean, a lot of people listening out there this evening, it's our passion that comes out of us when we watch these guys go at it, because we know what they're given and we want to give the same energy. And it's so fun. I know, Shane, you love to call the Pro 4 race. No matter if there's 6 or 16, it's a badass show.
You know, we've given the top two and the points their flowers in Pro 4. If you want to talk about a dark horse, how about Kyle Chaney? We know that he's already got a lot of laps down there at Mid-America. CJ does too, but Chaney, he's hungry. He's looking for that first win. Had a couple of second place finishes back in Bark River. Does he have a shot to steal one down there?
I believe he has the shot. You can't count out Kyle Chaney because he's just that bad fast. And anything he gets in, four wheels, he's just really comfortable. That Pro Mod, they're singing. They're running almost Pro 4 lap time. So you know the speed, that isn't the problem. It's just getting that setup dialed. I mean, he's running an older truck. I know Steve Schering's putting him in great equipment, has a lot of great parts. It's just him to get comfy with that truck. But I do feel this could be a big weekend. At Bark River, I kept tapping you in the booth, Shane. I'm like, oh, man, look at Chaney. He is right there with that group. And a couple little mistakes, it costed him, but he was there at the end. He put it on the podium, and that's what you have to do. Baby steps is huge, but I think he's ready to shine as well. So we're not just favoring the top two. We love to see these other guys play a big factor, because RJ Anderson, you know him, he has nothing to lose as well.
Oh, for sure. He would love to play spoiler to CJ and Jimmy Henderson and completely steal a show down there. And the elephant in the room, we can't count out G-Pa, Johnny Greaves, the year that he's had to come back from all those injuries. You could tell, you know, he came back fast to make it back for ERX, and no doubt he was still feeling the effects of that injury, and it's taken him a little bit, but starting to pick up a little more momentum. He could play spoiler down there too.
Yeah, I think he's ready to hold that thing wide open. He looked good. He looked good at Bark River. He looked like he was getting more comfortable, and we can't say nothing for Johnny. You know, we don't know what he went through inside and out in his mind and what he was afraid of, what he wasn't. I mean, Johnny ain't afraid of anything, but I'm just saying.
I was going to say, is Johnny Greaves afraid of anything?
No, and I don't mean, I know it's funny, but at the same time, like, he's not afraid, but I'm just trying to say that, you know, mentally, he's got a lot to think about. He has a grandbaby now, and, I mean, he has kid, and he has his wife, and you think as you get older, you know, one wrong mistake could take you out forever, and I think he bounced back really well. It took him a little bit, but I think he's ready to play. He knows it's the last weekend, and we can't count out Cole Meemer either, because he's been doing well, just having some breakdowns.
Yeah, another guy that's hungry for his first Pro 4 win, no doubt about it. That's going to be another really fun battle to watch, even if the points chase isn't quite as interesting as some of those other classes we talked about. Well, as always, this podcast is brought to you by Amsoil. Champ fans, remember to visit Amsoil.com for all the products that protect and maximize performance in all those vehicles and motorized toys. Use the convenient Amsoil product guides to find what you need and get fast shipping directly to your doorstep. Amsoil, run with us. Well, Brent, the Pro Series finale for 2023 is upon us here this weekend at Mid-America Outdoors. Sportsman season wrapped. But let's reflect a little bit on what we saw for sportsman racing this year. I'm amazed every year the commitment that sportsman teams, sportsman drivers, their families have to off-road racing. It just blows me away. They're putting in all the effort that the pro teams are, and they're basically just doing it out of passion and grit and want to and nothing else.
Yeah, and that's why we love our sportsmen. I mean, growing up, being in the sportsman divisions, You had to go to work all week, and then you had to try to find the money to play with your race cars. And a lot of these guys and gals, they're going to run 40, 60 hours a week at their normal jobs. And on the race weekends, yeah, it's their play time, but they're spending a lot of their play money that they could be buying their kid a swing set or doing something else. Or, I mean, they're really putting their heart and soul into this sport, and we got to give kudos to them and give them credit because, hey, man, our whole life will be a sportsman no matter what, because those guys and gals know how to put on a show. And no matter, you don't hear them complaining about a lot of different things. I mean, yeah, granted, you're going to have your good days and bad days, but when the helmets go down and the gloves are on and they're ready to rock and roll, the Sportsman Series, 9 times out of 10, gives better racing on the weekends than the pros.
Yeah, it played out that way a few different times this year.
Right.
To compare the Pro Series and the Sportsman classes side by side, the passion is the same, the egos are the same, the desire is the same. Different equipment, smaller budgets, that's about it. I mean, it's the same heart and soul, like you said. Do you have a favorite Sportsman moment that you can look back on? I got a couple in the tank here that I've been thinking about today.
I would want to say Corey Holder sweeping the weekend with Ben Holder's truck. That was probably hands down.
Surprised the heck out of us, for one thing.
Oh, yeah. I didn't even know what was going on. I was like, holy crap, this is really going down. And that's what I said. I was giving him a hard time at the barn after the weekend was done. And just saying, you know, like a lot of guys just love just to be in the sport, let alone drive one of the truck classes. And he went up, and now he wants to move up into the Vision. He swept already. I'm like, why do you even need to go into the class? I'm like, you already got it done. And he just started laughing.
Yeah, you're already batting 1,000, Corey. Why not just skip right over that and go straight to Pro Light?
Right, right.
When I look back on the Sportsman season, first of all, Bark River as a whole event, I think, is going to stick in my memory for a long time. The Sportsman racing that we saw both days there, just the amount of races that we saw come down to the final corner, you know, Braden Boshaw passing Scott Belanger for that win and the drama that unfolded there, or the mod carts. Carter Vandenhoevel, Porter Inglese finishing fender to fender and then sharing a big hug next to the podium after they jumped out. I mean, Bark River forced all those Sportsman guys to bring their A game. We saw some fresh faces on the podium that hadn't been there before, like Taylor Dawson and Light Buggy. It was just such a great weekend of racing and so entertaining, and really was the pinnacle of what Sportsman racing can be, and that's great competition among friends.
Yeah, and you got to give credit to Bark River Lions Club and the whole race facility for keeping at it, just always making sure that facility looks great, feels great to the drivers when they're on the track. And Mother Nature was on our side. We had a little bit of rain going into the weekend, but it was a beautiful weekend. The drivers loved it, and like you said, it created great racing right up until the end. I believe there was, on Saturday, it was, what, 8 or 9 races out of the 18 that we called were within a half a second. You normally don't see that for a whole half a year, let alone one day. And I just think that those drivers were hungry. It was the midpoint of the season. And now I think you're going to see more of that out of a lot more of the drivers in Sportsman in 2024, because they watch their buddies, they watch their friends, like you say, progress and do good. It just makes everyone else want to do that much better.
So maybe we're jumping the gun on talking about this next question that I have for you, because maybe the best pro moment we will see this year will be this weekend at Mid-America. But what's your favorite pro moment so far? Does anything stand out to you? Here, this is another one where I could go like 5 or 6 different ways, I think.
What would I have to say? I'd have to say probably Jimmy Henderson. It just keeps sticking out because just him cleaning house on a big weekend. I mean, just to get one win in Pro 4 against a guy like CJ Greaves and Johnny Greaves and a host of others is huge. But for him to really put that statement down, I don't think I could say one weekend, like in one race, that sticks out. I think there was multiple races that stuck out. And Jimmy Henderson, every weekend I'd go home after the weekend was done, it's like, man, that guy is freaking fast. Like a lot of people talked about, but I think it was more than just the Bark River moment. It was more than when he started the season up and you seen that he was going to be a player. So I don't know. I really can't say one moment. What's a moment that sticks out for you?
I'll agree with you on the Jimmy Henderson thing. And looking back at the season so far, especially as it pertains to Pro 4, you know, with Kyle LeDuc sidelined this year, even before the season started, you and I were talking and we were like, man, it's not going to be the same. And it has not been the same. But after Crandon, rounds 3 and 4, when Henderson swept that weekend, it was like everything was a little bit different. Like we knew there would still be the same level of drama. We just didn't expect that it would reach that level that fast. That'll stand out in my mind for a long time. And I think there was a lot of other moments too. I think Chenny reaching the top of the podium again in Bark River in round 10. That was
absolutely
a tremendous moment. That was, you know, the fans loved that moment so much.
The fans,
I talked about it on an earlier podcast.
You loved it. You loved it. You were going nuts for Chenny. You're like, dude, Brett, you know the last time he freaking won? It was awesome. We had a moment. It was awesome.
Yeah, it was the race fan in me. That was kind of one of those magical moments. Another one, I'm thinking back to Antigo, and I even said right after the fact that we'd be talking about it for a long time, that pro light race in round two at Antigo when four trucks were battling for the win at the last couple of laps.
Crazy.
Just banging doors, tremendous racing right down to the wire, four trucks going for a win, and that's the opening weekend. We, you know, coming into a season, you don't know, you can sort of guess what to expect out of, you know, the entirety of the series. That was kind of one of those tone-setting moments, like, okay, you know, this is going to be a year that's wall-to-wall battling, not just in pro light, but in every class. And I think that was a really great tone setter. And then, you know, just seeing a couple of first-time winners, I think, has been really great, too. Like, seeing Jordan Bernlohr put the whole pro buggy class on notice back at ERX and run away with that win. That was great.
Yeah, so many great moments. And sorry, I don't have any other ones that I can remember. The year's
it's all a
been
blur.
Just like a flash. Yeah, it's crazy, dude. And you know how that is. And I just think everyone's going to come ready to race here at Mid-America. I'm excited. I know you're excited. It's at the end of the year, but hey, man, our energy is still going to be there because our Amsoil Championship Off-Road Series is one to watch, and we have some of the gnarliest drivers in the world.
Absolutely. It's been a magical season, and we've got a little bit more magic. I guess the grand finale of the magic show, if you want me to wear that metaphor out. We go live this Saturday, September 23rd, 3:30 p.m. Central Time. That's the Mid-America Outdoors Off-Road National. Big news coming out of Mid-America, I believe earlier today as we record, that everybody from that county and the surrounding counties, if you're a local resident, you get in for free for the whole weekend. So I expect a very packed seating area there.
Yeah, they better tell their friends and family, man. Oh, it's going to be a showdown. I've seen some pictures already. I want to be there now.
Well, what do we see when we go to a new place, though? You know, the first day, it's a good crowd. And then, you know, the people that couldn't convince their friends to go on Saturday, they go back home or go to their local bar and they're talking to their friends and they go, you're not going to believe the stuff I saw today. You guys have to come check this out tomorrow. Sunday is going to be huge. Points championships on the line. The grand finale of the 2023 season. Man, I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm ready to wrap this season up. I'm excited for next year. I'm excited for everyone that gets a chance to go after the championship. Been there. It's stressful. It's awesome. It's what you live for. And I'm excited, Shane. I'm excited to call the races. It's going to be a quick weekend, so buckle up.
Absolutely. Let's go out with a bang. That'll do it for this episode of the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil. For Brent, I'm Shane. We'll see you this weekend live from Mid-America.
Thanks for listening to the Champ Off-Road Podcast presented by Amsoil.
I am Shane Stetsny. Got Brent Smith. What's your name?
Bradley Smith.